God is good, isn't he? God is so good. I like what I feel in his house here today. I'm just thankful that I didn't die this morning. Everything else apparently did. And I have a part in this service today, so I'm really worried, you know. But God is so good. And I'm glad that you are here today, and I just want to give honor to the Lynn family, your pastor. They are just a great couple, a great family. I'm so proud of my nieces. They can sing so awesome. They didn't get it from me. Literally, I mean, I'm not even part, I'm like outsider, you know what I'm saying? But they're awesome. And this is an awesome church. I hear great things, and I hear the things that God is doing. I mean, my goodness, opening a door possibly for a building. There's something that happens when you begin to sing that song, Miracles Can Happen, when miracles are happening. It raises your faith to a level, and it turns into something that is just, it's awesome. It's action. Saying, God, it's not just that it can happen, it will happen. God can do anything. God is awesome. And those miracles, I believe, will happen. I have some lengthy scripture to read here today, and so I'm going to let you be seated. But before we do that, did I catch you all? Okay, didn't want anyone to sit down yet. I wonder if you would just pray with me. I know the Lord has a message for this church. I'm going to be preaching a little different here today. And I have a lot of messages that I felt were better, that I wanted to preach, that maybe, but I just didn't feel it was God's will. And this is what I felt like the Lord has for this church. When I was asked to preach a while back, about a week into that, the Lord laid these scriptures on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. At first, I thought it was just for me, and then I'm like, no, there's more to this than that. And so I hope that you'll receive this here today, and that you'll allow me not just to preach. I don't want to preach here today. I want to minister, and I want God to minister in this place. And that's what I want to see happen, is God to move. I don't want to get in the way of that. And I want you to know there's an end goal in this place here today, and that is that we experience God in a powerful way. That we touch his garment, that we get a hold of him in this place. And I want to see what he's going to do, because miracles can happen. God can do anything. And I wonder if you would pray with me right now. Let's invite him one more time into this place. God, we open up to you right now. God, we come to you with some of us with brokenness. God, some of us are coming with things we can't even talk about. And God, I know there's a word for this church, and there's a word for an individual. There's a word for someone here today. And God, I pray that you allow me to speak your word. God, speak it in a way that can impact our lives. God, help me to minister the way you want me to minister, God. I want to get out of the way. And God, I want your spirit to move into this place. God, let your anointing fall like it's never felt before. God, let your anointing touch our hearts and our minds. God, stir us up in this place today. God, we need you. We want you. We want more of you. God, do a work, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. God is so awesome. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to read a story to you. It's seven verses. Might be here a little bit, but 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'll begin reading. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." This is in the New King James Version. "And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Turn to someone and say, "What shall I do for you?" Now what you need, go ahead and tell them. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Just a jar of oil. You hear some that say there's different interpretations about how much oil, but we find that it was just a small amount of oil. "Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. We find this story where a woman was destitute. She was in a place of desperation. She was going to actually lose her sons. Today, it's a little different when the creditor comes. They're not going to probably take your family from you. That might work out better for some of us. Some others, maybe not as much. Be like, take them. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. See if you can get them to do something. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But no, they came to her, and a lot of times today they may take a vehicle or take a house, and there can be some things that can happen if the creditor is coming. But in this situation, there was actually a creditor coming to take her sons and bring them into slavery. And this was a situation, obviously, that she needed help in. She said, I can't figure this out. All that I have is just a little bit of oil. And we find the man of God giving her instruction. And I want to talk to the church, this church, just for a little bit here today before I get into the rest of my message. And if you can bear with me, I know this may not be a normal way to bring a message out, but I want to do this in kind of a two-part section here today, what I feel the Lord brought out of these passages. And I believe that it's for this church. Is that all right that I'm preaching this? This is not a message that I preached before that I've just pulled out of my library and said, this is a good one, you know. Someone said amen to this one last time, so I'll preach this one. No, this is one that I believe is for you, and it's difficult because I want to bring my best, but I feel like this is what the Lord is wanting for this church. Romans 16 and 19, I'm going to just read this scripture quickly. It says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Turn to someone and say, obedience. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And we can get excited about how God is going to crush Satan. Another translation says, bruise. It's talking about just destroying Satan and crushing Satan. But sometimes we can skip over the verse that's before that that says, through our obedience. And so what I have found in Scripture, whenever there is a miracle that is taking place, there's going to be instruction or a word, and then there's going to be obedience. And we need to be obedient to His word. This widow didn't know what to do, and she was down to her last pot or last jar of oil. She maybe had enough for one meal. She didn't know what was going to happen, so she asked for a word from Elisha. And he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And this scripture jumped out at me for this church. I feel like you're a year in. Well, I know you're a year in, don't just feel it. But I feel like at this time, there's been preparation that has happened for a year. And now it's time to bring in the vessels. The empty vessels that need God's Spirit in their life. There is a city here that needs God. God has been preparing this church, not just for a revival, because revival, we talk about it and we want it. But I believe that revival is something that happens to something that is dead, a bringing up. I don't believe this church is dead. I think this is just going to be a continuing thing that happens. It's a next step, a next level in this church. It's not a revival. It's the next step in a church plant. It's the next step of God doing great things. It's a next step of God doing miracles for this church. And through your obedience, because you've been obedient, you're here today. And you're saying, I'm investing into this church. I'm doing my part. I'm doing what it takes for this church. I'm going to not only be a part, but I'm going to bring vessels in. It takes a collective church to bring vessels in for souls to be saved. It takes work. It takes us sending out. Sending people out to bring vessels in. And the oil that you have, what you hold in your hand, is what this world needs. I think it's pretty awesome that every vessel that was brought in was completely filled. Oh, preacher, everyone that comes to church isn't going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Be realistic. No, I'm talking about miracles. When they walk through this door, they feel the presence of God so powerful. They feel the oil that you have in your hand so powerful that they're affected, that they say, I've got to have what they have. I've got to have what they're holding on to. I'm talking about affecting people with what you have. We can look around and say, oh, I'm poor. Oh, I don't have a lot of things in this life. But what you have can make a difference in this world. The very thing you're holding on to. Sometimes we can look past the things that God gives us and forget about how great it is, how powerful it is, and what He's able to do with it. He's looking for vessels to impact. Vessels. There's people that need this word, that needs this message, that needs a change. And many times we're the ones that need that message and need that change every day. It's not just reaching other vessels, but it's reaching one another. There's brothers and sisters in this church that need one another to pour into one another. There may be people that feel like they're on their last meal. You know what I'm saying? That kind of feeling at the end of the rope. But I'm telling you, we can be there for one another. We can be that person that is an encourager, that can pour into somebody else. Because there's going to come a day when you're probably going to need someone to pour into you. And when you create that environment and that culture of pouring into one another and lifting one another up, there's strength in that. You walk away from a service like today just filled with His Spirit, just filled with His power, just having a little pep in your step, ready to change a world that needs to be changing. Eventually, all the vessels were brought in. How awesome would that be for Pastor Scott to say, you know, go get some more vessels. We need more. And they're like, this whole everyone's here, Pastor Scott. Everyone's filled. How awesome would that be? What a feeling that would be to say you've impacted a city in that way. But I wonder if we could step out in faith and say, I want to impact my city in that way until every vessel is here. I want to reach every vessel. I believe that you can make it happen. You have what it takes. There may be people that speak into your lives that are speaking lies, but I know a God that wants you to succeed, and He wants you to reach people. He's wanting you to take what you have and give it. And something that is awesome about giving is when you begin to give, and you begin to give of yourself, then He begins to fill you again, and He begins to top you off again so you can give more. If you don't give what you have, how can you keep being refilled? We're made to give to others. We're made to reach others. He's created us. There's no mistake that He's called us vessels to be used of Him. I believe that you can be a part of God's plan. It doesn't matter the background. It doesn't matter how broken you may feel and what type of vessel that you may feel that you are. God can still use you to reach this city. God can still use you to be a part of this church and to give to this church. And you may not be able to give much financially, but God can use you in so many different ways. You, more than money, an encouraging word can impact a soul. More than being able to give someone a bunch of money, your love for people will show stronger than the money that you have in your wallet. But I'm telling you, God needs your money too. Don't get me wrong. God can use you to bless this church and to be a part of this because God can use you in that area. And I believe that as you give, I was going to do an illustration today and have you all give me your money out of your wallet. And I was going to pray and then see, you could get back with me and see if God put it back in. But I thought, nah, I better not do that. That I don't want to come off the wrong way, you know what I'm saying? But I do believe that as we give, God will give to us. He'll be give to fill us up and help us so that we can be a blessing to others, but also reach this city. I know you have what it takes. Because if you have the same Holy Ghost that I read about in the Bible, I know you have what it takes. I know you have all you need. You have what you need. And what is in you is greater than he that is in this world. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, a familiar scripture, it says, if ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What you hold, what you have inside of you is greater than anything that can come against you. Anything. What you hold is the key. And there's a thing that we have to do, and that is called be obedient. Be obedient with what the Word is telling us. The oil that we find in these passages obviously was used for food. But there are a lot of different uses in the Bible that talks about the oil. And I want to shift gears here a little bit here today and talk about what the oil can be in our lives and what we can do with it. Not just as a church, but as individuals. And if we feel broken, if we feel like we're not in a good place, there is anointing oil. There is a Spirit of God that can touch our lives and help us and change us. We find that the woman was looking at everything that she didn't have. And I know that in that place, it's not easy. There's been times in my life when I've looked around and said, God, what's going on? What are you doing right now? I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand what you're doing. But he reminds me that what I still have is the most important thing in this world. What I have to hold on to, this anointing that he has over our lives, can change and help us and change situations. It can change hearts. It can change families. It can put families and marriages back together. I'm talking about a healing oil, an ointment that can be put over our lives, that can strengthen and restore and renew. It's what brings life to a situation that seems dead and impossible. It's the oil in our life that can break addictions, that can take our broken body and heal our body. It's the thing that can renew our mind when we're dealing with thoughts and things from our past, the things that are destroying us. But there's something about the Spirit that works in our minds and our hearts that begins to sever the evil that is trying to pull us back and trying to keep us from what God has for us. There's something supernatural that begins to happen when the Spirit touches our lives, when it moves inside of us. What you hold in your hands and what is available here today can be yours if you're obedient to the Word. I would like to go over the steps of your miracle here today. Number one, what is needed? That was the question by Elijah. He said, what do you need? And then two, there was a word spoken. He told her what to do. Three, there was obedience to the word. The woman did exactly as he said. They brought all the pots in. They brought all the vessels. And then number four, you receive it. We find that Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3. And he started a conversation with him. And Jesus, you know, he just kind of went into his own thing and began to just talk about baptism and the Spirit. And he said to him, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And this is important because this is the same Spirit that Peter got up and preached about. And I know that you are familiar with this. We find as we dig into that word, Spirit is talking about pneuma. And we find that when Peter stood up, even though the wording is a little different, if you look that word up, it still is the same meaning as pneuma. And it's the same exact word that they were talking about. And so Jesus was basically telling them what they needed to do, and Peter just fulfilled it. He just began to be obedient to it and do it. And so if we want forgiveness, we have to go to the Lord for repentance. If we want God to wash our sins away, we need baptism. If we want to live an overcoming life, then I believe that we need His Spirit. So there is things that come with our belief and with our obedience. We always gain through obedience. Always. God gives to his people through obedience. And it's interesting because there are some people that complain about not having a prayer life, but they forget they're not praying. If we're obedient to his word and we pray and fast, he says things will happen, right? That there'll be devils cast out, that there'll be healings, that there'll be things. Say, God, I want that in my church. But are we obedient to his word? Are we praying? We can talk about it all day long, but until we're obedient, we can believe it all day long, but until we take action, there needs to be some things happening, and then God will begin to move. He always has a word for us, and we always need to respond in obedience. And I'm asking the question today, what do you need? Why don't you turn to someone and say, what do you need? What do you want the Lord to do for you? Elisha asked the same question to the widow. She responded, I'm about to lose my boys to the creditor. She said, I only have food for maybe one meal. She was saying, I may lose everything. But when she was obedient to the man of God, miracles began to happen. We got to go beyond just asking, but we got to take action here today. We got to go beyond just believing that God can do something to taking action and stepping in to that with obedience, saying, God, I'm going to do what it takes to get my miracle. If it means I got to push through some crowds, if it means I got to do some things that people may make fun of me for doing, I've got to get my miracle today. I guarantee you that whole city was going, what in the world are they doing? Why are they collecting all these vessels? I'm sure people had their opinions. I'm sure fake news was saying all kinds of things about them. I'm sure there was all kinds of things. Oh, they're getting ready to steal from people. They're going to do this and do that. But we find that they were just preparing for their miracle. And there may be people on the outside saying, man, why are they gathering in this town? Why are they praying in this town? Why are they fasting in this town? Why are they doing what they think is right to do? There's nothing that's going to happen there. They're crazy people. But your obedience to the word will get you ready for your miracle. I believe that things will change when you prepare, when you get ready, when you do what the man of God is telling you to do. Say, what do we need? You may need forgiveness. I would suggest to you to find a place to pray and repent. You may need your sins washed away. It's time to get baptized. In Jesus' name. You may need power, a change, a renewing. I suggest that you ask God for his spirit. And the Bible says that he shall fill you with the Holy Ghost. I'm asking today, what do you need? Is there a renewing that needs to happen? I don't believe anyone is dead here today. There may need to be an awakening, and I don't even know situations in this place. All I know is what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. There may need to be a stirring up to get ready for what he's about to do. I don't know if he's sending a rain of blessing. I don't know what he's about to send to this place or what doors he's about to open up. All I came to preach today is get ready and be obedient. Get ready for what he has. Bring in the vessels. We start with ourselves, bringing this vessel to the Lord, saying, God, use me, pour into me so that I can pour into others. God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to prepare. God, I'm going to prepare for the miracle that I expect to happen. God, I'm going to save money so that when you open up this building, we can pay for the heat bill. I'm talking about preparation here today. I'm talking about getting ready for what he's going to do. Not just believing that he's going to do it, but I'm preparing for it. I'm stepping out in faith and saying, I'm planning for what he's going to do. I'm planning for my family to be saved. I'm planning for my family to be put back together. I'm planning for my life to be changed so I can do a work for God. I'm planning for God to put back the broken pieces. Talking about getting ready for a miracle, getting ready for what God has for you in this church. Oh, is there anybody ready for a miracle? Is there anybody ready for vessels to be changed, for lives to be renewed? John 14, I know this scripture is used so many times, but I hope that you're hearing it in a different way here today. In John 14 and 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right, God, I'm going to ask it and I'm going to prepare for it. God, I'm going to ask and I hear your word. Oh, we have the spoken word right here. Spoken word that says that you can have what he has for you. That you can have mercy, that you can have forgiveness, that you can have love in your life, in your home, that you can have a peace. These things are here. They're promises. We have the word. Step one, ask what you want. Step two, we have the word. It's already here. It's already promised. Now we believe it. I'm not talking about a belief that this world has in religion. Saying, yes, I believe. And then they don't do anything with their belief. But I'm talking about a belief that will step out of a boat, that we get to walk on water, that will walk to Jesus and say, God, if you, whatever you're wanting me to do, whatever you're asking me to do, God, I'm preparing. God, I'm going to study for Bible studies so that I can teach them. God, I'm going to pray so that I'm sensitive to the needs of my city. I'm talking about preparation, not just talk, but I'm talking about doing something with our belief. Saying, because I believe he can take my sins away, I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. We're talking about steps, not just God taking death and bringing life, but I'm talking about the next level type of stuff. I'm talking about where God can take you from where you are to where you want to be because of obedience, because of your belief in what he's going to do. If you shall ask anything in my name. And as I'm closing here today, I know I don't have a long message, but I don't think I need to say a whole lot. I think you guys are getting. You guys are smart people. You guys are awesome. Other churches, I would still be preaching, trust me. No, I'm just kidding. What I'm hoping here today is that we'll bring the vessels. Not just vessels that we come in contact with in this city, but bring ourselves to prepare ourselves. I've heard people say, well, I don't need to be in the altar. Everything's going good right now. I pray at home. Where is the preparation for what he's going to do? We say we want God to move. Then we need to worship him in every service. We need to lift him up and prepare for what he's going to do. Oh, this is an action type of thing. This is a beautiful thing where we step out in faith and see God do great things. How beautiful is it to start a service with everything, everybody up here preparing themselves, getting ready for a move. And because of your prayers, we felt him in this place. Because you gathered and prayed before service, because you took action, because there were people singing and glorifying God and preparing this place for a move. Today, we can feel him. We can touch him. We can be with him. And the words that he's speaking to us today is, what do you need? How awesome is it if we can get to a place to say, God, I'm not just prepared for what I need,
but I'm prepared for what this church needs. That's powerful. I want to prepare. I want to get ready for the miracle this church is going to have. I'm going to prepare and get ready for all the people that are going to be coming. It's not just saying it. It's preparing for it. Bring the vessels. Would you just take a few minutes and close your eyes and let's just pray. God is wanting to do a work. He's wanting to speak to us here today. I believe that he's just hoping that somebody will respond. Say, God, I don't just believe, but I'm going to be obedient to you, God. I've got to find a place to prepare, to pray right now, God, so that you can move in my life, move in my home, move in my family. Oh, God, I ask, what do you need? What do you need today? Would you find a place to pray? God is wanting to move across this place. Oh, he knows where you're at. He knows your situation. God, we ask that you move right now. These people, God, they love you. God, they're obedient to you. God, I pray that you bless this church. God, that you anoint this church for your revival. God, for your moving. Yeah.